This is Kathy DeWitt. So Kathy, we've been getting to know you for a while now, for the last few months. She was a pastor at New Hope Baptist Church for 20 years. That's a long time. I've only been 3 years in the job, so you're going to have to teach me how to get to 20. You are now a life coach, which is great. She is specifically Shamila's ministry supervisor at this point in time, and that's been a real blessing. And we have just really felt that we wanted to hear your heart more than anything. God's been working in you over many years. But there's a few things about you. Apparently, I found out you were involved in the Olympic torch race back in relay. Oh, maybe not the race. Okay. Apparently, at home, you still have a torch. Yeah, she's got a torch. Back in 2000, she ran 400 metres. Thanks for that information, Steve. So there we go.
More of a job.
It was more of a job, yeah. And I must say, you can sing very, very lovely. I've been standing next to you just now. So if you want to burst into song, feel free. And I forgot to introduce Steve over there, her husband. So today we really just want to hear your heart. And I remember when we were when we first met you, the question was, what must you say? What's on your heart? What must you say? You know, it's like it's overflowing. And each of us, we've been talking a lot about gifts and passions and things that are in deep in the heart and what flows over. And these are some of the things. I hope they're still correct. What you must talk about is the idea of the power of words. Yeah, speaking God's truth, declarations of what we speak, especially for women. You said back then, having the mind of Christ and partnering with God and what He sees about us and how our place in the world. So, this is today. You're speaking on. Who I am in Christ, or I am in Christ. And I'm not going to say much more, but to really pray that we are all receptive to that ministry today, because I think that we all need to have a confidence that we are made and formed in Christ, and we need to walk into that, each one of us. So how about we pray, and then we'll let Kathy jump into it. Lord, I just thank you so much that you are here right now. I know many of us really sensed your presence in worship. And Lord, we come with open hands and open hearts now to receive the word that you have for us today. Lord, we want to hold on to the truth about us, the truth that you've declared in so many ways through your word. And the value that you place on each one of us, especially by the fact that you died and you rose again and you made a way for us to be reunited with the Father. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall on this place in a way that perhaps we've never experienced before. Lord, that you would speak through Kathy, that we would have open hearts and open minds ready to receive your word. You are good, Lord. We love you. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you. I couldn't have picked the songs better myself this morning. An echo of some of those words. So my name's Kathy, and I want to tell you a little bit of a story as I begin. So my husband and I were travelling through some back roads in Vietnam about a month ago. We went there for a little bit of a holiday just to escape a bit of the winter chill here. And it was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago today. And we were sitting in the back of a Grab, which is like an Uber. And we'd allowed plenty of time to get from where we were staying back to the airport. And I'd worked out that it was going to be about an hour and a half's trip. And we had all sorts of trouble getting a Grab that day, which we hadn't experienced before. And then the heavens opened and there was torrential rain And we were watching streams of rivers of water literally flowing down the sides of the back streets that our driver had ducked out to on a very dark and rainy night. And as I looked at my watch, the car got rather quiet, didn't it? We realised that, oh, we had plenty of time to get back for our flight. But there was that feeling, I wonder if we're going to make it. An hour and a half drive ended up being a 3.5 hour drive. We were pulled over at one stage. The driver pulled over and handed me his phone with the Google Translate, which said, we have a flat tire, it will only be 5 minutes. And I thought to myself, it's not going to be 5 minutes. And we stood under this awning as the driver did a great job. Anyway, we ended up making it. Thank the Lord we made our flight. But while we were driving along, he took us off this main road onto these back streets, and I'm thinking, where on earth are we going? And Steve and I just looked at each other. But there was such a peace in the car. At one stage, I did think, man, we actually might not make this flight. And I looked out in that moment, and through fields, I felt like it was God speaking to me. I saw a red cross. It was on top of a church. And I heard these words in my spirit, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And peace hit my heart. Everything was screaming panic, worry, but I felt a peace in my heart. You know, our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. Have they gone up to slide 2? Please excuse me. This is new for me, so it's all good. Our words and our agreements are powerful. You have everything in you to carry the authority of God Almighty with you, to change your outlook and your mindset, to change your perspective and the spiritual atmosphere you live in and move in. I want to unpack that a little bit today. Today I feel inspired by God to highlight the power he carries into your situation and life, and for you to know and walk out who you are in Christ, to know your birthright and your identity as a son and a daughter of the living God. Here's what I know. Through years of mentoring and pastoring and prayer ministry, most followers of Christ do not even realize the power they have within them. That was me for quite a long time. Your life changes and your soul flourishes when you begin to understand what it means to walk in the authority of Christ as a believer. There are some promises that I want to share with you. So I want to share some testimony and I want to share some verses to back this up. James 4:7 says this, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Powerful words. 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Powerful words. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. But I have come, says Jesus, that you may have life and have it in abundance. There are plenty of verses in the scripture that begin to speak into who we are in Christ. So why are so many of us who have the power of the living God inside of us through his spirit, why do we get tossed around by the wind and the waves? We sang about it before, right? Why are so many of us subject to our feelings? Why are so many of us under the banner of what people have spoken over us or what we speak over ourselves? Despair can gather around us. We have all experienced that. And we say things like, this is terrible, there is no hope. We see or we hear news stories and we feel hopeless. Culture screams at us from every angle. This is what you should believe. This is who you are. Life situations throw at us and they cause us fear and worry that can overwhelm us in parenting, in work, in life. We live under the shadow of our outlook and our agreements, of our emotions. We all do it. It's human nature. We speak words and we make agreements which shape and form us. Friends, God has called us out. We're chosen and adopted and His beloved. Psalm 139 says this, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Yet, how often do we look in the mirror with disappointment and comparison? Maybe words from the past about how we look or how we behave, and they ring in our ears. We compare ourselves with others and we usually find ourselves coming up short. We follow an incredible Saviour. We are made in His image. That's what Genesis 1:27 tells us. And our Father speaks over us in Matthew 5:14. "You are the light of the world." Let me be clear, Jesus is the light of the world. But here He says, "You're salt and you're light." So He has spoken over each one of us. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before people, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I believe that part of those good deeds are living fully for Him, are knowing who we are in Christ. We are created, each one of us are created to shine His light and reflect His glory. It's time to polish those lights. Imagine a lamp that's dull, maybe not working, maybe the bulb has blown. I believe God wants to point us to Himself and create in us clean and new hearts today. I asked God in prayer a little while ago, "Lord, what do you have for Clayton Church of Christ today?" And He showed me a picture. He was moving thoughtfully throughout each of you that are listening today. And He was handing out a hand-sized scroll to each one of you. And I said, "Lord, what are you doing in that picture?" And I felt like He spoke to my heart. He said, "As people receive it, I want them to realize that there's a word for each one today. These words are right from the Father's heart for you. You are noticed by Him and He delights in you because you are His creation and His child." So my prayer this morning is simple. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm a life coach and I often use this powerful picture God gave me with my clients. Will you try this with me? Picture this. You might want to close your eyes if it helps. You're sitting in a comfortable lounge room. The walls and the furniture are crisp and white. You're in a comfy armchair and ahead of you is a long hallway that leads to the front door. You're relaxing and you're feeling pretty chill. And all of a sudden, an intruder barges in the front door. They're really grubby and muddy. They're loud and obnoxious. They march through the front door, down the hallway. They put their dirty hands on your beautiful clean walls. And then they pop themselves down right next to you in your lovely clean couch. Everything they touch is getting dirty. They lean right into your face and talk loudly and aggressively at you, putting you down and abusing you. Can you picture the scene? What would you do? Would you sit there and take it? Of course you wouldn't. The minute they barged in the door, you'd spring into action. You'd yell, "Get out!" What you might call the police. You'd pick up the cricket bat that was next to you and begin wielding it at them, saying, "Get out of my house." You would never let them come all the way in and sit down next to you and insult you to your face in your home, right? Why is it we let the devil have a field day and do the same thing in the place we spend most of our time? In our thoughts. I think I'm one ahead here. Let's try that one. There we go. The passage I bring you today is from 2 Corinthians. Yep, that's the one. It's from 2 Corinthians 3:5. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ." That's a word for you, and it's a word for me today. The Apostle Paul was writing this to the church in Corinth, and his main message in the book of 2 Corinthians was strength in weakness. This morning, I want us to gather a deep understanding of what this really means to each one. This is my life's passion project, to help believers know who they are and what they carry and what is it. As accessible to them, to live strong in the authority of a believer and not in fear and overwhelm. Does that sound good? Our weapon, to live a full life, not to be tossed by the wind and the waves. God has been doing this in my heart over the last few years. He's been working on my agreements, how I see myself, how I see others, and the words that I use. He's been calling me to see things through his eyes. This is such a good example. When we were in Vietnam a little while ago, we stayed in a town, or a city really, called Vung Tau. Have any of you been there? Yeah. This is a statue. This is one, a couple of my photographs. This is a statue here. I have two different perspectives. A statue called Christ the King. Steve called it Big Jesus. I like that. By far and away, this was the most impactful part of this journey for me. You can see this statue all over town. It is huge. It's on a hilltop and it faces out to the sea. Steve did some surfing while we were there and he said, "I'd love just looking back and seeing Big Jesus on the hill watching over me." So we went and had a bit of a trek, a bit of a pilgrimage up 800 stairs that took us one morning in the heat to Big Jesus, Christ the King. And when you get to the base of this statue, you get an opportunity to climb up. Now, I don't know if you can see here. Can you see the picture on the left here? Can you see those tiny dots on Jesus' shoulders? They're people. That's how big it is. It's huge, isn't it? I know. All right, so you get the opportunity to climb inside. Now, when you go to climb inside, you have to leave your backpacks and your bags at the base of the statue, and you take your shoes off. One of the reasons, that I think there are two reasons that you have to take your baggage off. One, I think, is very spiritual, And I think the other is the fact that the staircase inside is so narrow that when you go to pass someone, you literally have to stand up and breathe in so that two people can fit and cross paths. This was so powerful. And I feel like the Holy Spirit was in this moment as we went up there and we stood on the shoulders of Jesus. As soon as we walked out, you really can only fit a couple of people at a time on each shoulder. And as Steve and I stood there, I was so overwhelmed by the presence of God in that moment that I just wept. I just couldn't stop. When I looked out, you can see the view. The picture on the right is what you see from the shoulders of Jesus out to sea, and then to the left you could see Vung Tau. And as I stood there, I put my hand just up on that statue. It's only a statue. I wasn't worshipping the statue, but just that symbolic presence of saying, Holy Spirit, just bless our world, looking out over the South China Sea and then praying over the city. And it was such a powerful picture, and may it be for you today as you face your life situations. You see, when we face situations in our lives that might be overwhelming or distressing, maybe something's going on in our family, we get a bad health report, something's going on, it's very easy and understandable for us to see things from our own point of view, from ground level. And we might not be able to see anything above the fog or the trees that are our current situation and our experience. But God is calling us as believers to come and stand, maybe on his shoulders, to stand and see things eye to eye, to see what he is seeing and what he is doing, that bigger picture. I truly believe that if every person who says yes to Jesus grasped this as their truth, we would walk and live differently. We would walk and live a more victorious life in all circumstances that life brings our way. And it's all about perspective. The perspective comes in two forms: to know who God really is he really in control? And to know who I am in Christ. Do I really have the mind of Christ within me? So words and agreements are critical in this empowerment. What we agree with and what we say. Our declarations. This is a big key, so I want you to listen carefully. That verse, take every thought captive. This has been a huge learning for me. Over the last 5 years. We take every thought captive and we declare life over ourselves and our situations and over others. Note the tense used as we live in Christ. Behold, he says, I am doing a new thing. Not I've done a new thing. I am doing a new thing. God is always creating, and he's creating in our situations if we will say yes to him. And for some beautiful and mysterious reason, he asks us to partner with him to see his life released on earth as it is in heaven. Understand that our words carry incredible authority when we match them with the mind of Christ. And our words do carry authority for good and for evil, or for ill, let me say that, not evil, for good and for ill. Our words and our agreements carry great weight. Do you ever hear yourself saying something like this or someone around you? This is killing me. This is a disaster. It's just the way I am. And one that really niggles me. Don't get old, it's terrible. Have you, seriously? Please do not curse me. I want your blessing, not your curse. And you know where I hear it most? From older adults who are people of faith. Use your words to bless. I know there are tough situations which we face. I get it. I'm not downgrading that. But I want you to bless me, not to curse me. Proverbs 18:21 says this: life and death are in the power of the tongue. James 3:5 says, James 3:5 reminds us that even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it has incredible impact. Wouldn't I want to speak life over myself, my situation, my family, those around me, my community, my church? Wouldn't you want to speak life? With my coaching clients, we talk a lot about reframing how we speak. It's a great principle. It's a spiritual principle. I've seen massive breakthrough once people understand that their words and agreements carry great weight. So we work on the language we use. I am becoming instead of I'm terrible at. Does that make sense? When you wisely reframe agreements, you reframe your expectations and attitudes. You look at your situation, your relationship through a different lens. Psychology tells us that we live up to our expectations within reason. We live under the shadow of how we see ourselves, what is spoken over us, sometimes by our parents. How often do those things ring in our ears and stick with us? Maybe significant people like teachers who've spoken a word, or a friend who's spoken a word over you, and it can hold us back. It can set us on a path of believing who we are or who we're not. We speak words and make agreements that shape us. I've been doing prayer ministry for a long time now, and I've seen healings and breakthroughs that surprise me and reinforce my understanding that God is about redeeming his people and setting people free, because he's a good, good father. And often there are strongholds which affect health, emotionally, cognitively, physically, that stem from words that have been spoken over people. Not always, but it's a common thread often, that people are held back by beliefs and things that have been spoken over them. In prayer ministry, so much of that big stuff that people come to get free from, addictions, emotional pain, anxiety, depression, ongoing health issues, often, not always, they are grounded in deep agreements, in inner agreements. So in prayer ministry, we go back to the root. The words which have been birthed from events or words spoken over them. And it's beautiful to see the way Jesus begins to change the situation and set people free. It affects their outlook, their mental and physical health, the way they see themselves and others. It's really transformational. I love it when we can partner what God's doing in prayer ministry with the healing that people are often getting from counseling, psychologists, health professionals. It's not positive thinking, but it kind of is positive thinking. It is agreeing with what God has for us and says about us, because he says the very best over his beloved children. And the Bible is full of declarations of who I am in Christ. I'm successful and not a failure. I'm an overcomer and not a victim. God does not make duds. So how do we begin this? We use our words as declarations. Think about that. Pray without ceasing, the word tells us. I used to hear that and think, man, that's a big call, pray without ceasing. I struggle to pray for more than a few minutes at a time. But then I discovered that my life is an invitation to prayer, to partner with the creator of the universe and the lover of our souls. This is my theory. Every word we speak can be a prayer. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So let's start with you and me. When we speak, we make agreements. We make declarations. Part of the Lord's Prayer is this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is part of how Jesus taught us how to pray, to say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in this situation. It's an invitation for each one of us from our Saviour. I often see this picture in my head and I want to share it with you. It might help you. When I am in a situation that is difficult, I might climb up to Jesus' shoulders and say, what are you seeing, God? What have I missed? I take every thought captive. It's easy to partner with fear or dread or doubt. It's our human nature. We see something on TV, we have a personal situation, and we stand at that point in an intersection every time. What am I going to agree with? Am I going to agree with what God says or what I can see? And I know my authority as a believer. Do I agree with confusion and defeat and resolve to the inevitable? Or do I truly believe what Jesus said? Pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I see this picture. I'm standing there. There's the situation. And I say, God, I reach up because I feel that what he has is within our grasp. He's given us authority as a believer to say, come, grab it and say, your kingdom come. In this situation, he says, this is available to you. Reach up and grab it and partner with what I'm saying. Holy Spirit, come into this situation. And with your agreement and your prayer, you open up what God is doing. Come, Holy Spirit, I say yes to what you're doing right now. I say yes to your creative solutions. I give myself the testimony. God, you have never left me and you have never forsaken me, and I know you're not going to start now. I say yes to who you are and I thank you for what you're doing, even though I can't see it. And I've got situations in my life that I've been praying over for years, and I need to keep taking those thought captives when I start to worry. Nope, I take every thought captive. I thank you for what you're doing, even when I can't see it. There was an article I read as I was doing my research in psychology today, and it said out of all of our worries that we can test, a whopping 91% of worries don't come true. 91%. It's a lot of thought time we can waste. And of the remaining 9% of worries that did come through, the outcome was better than expected for a third of them. We are wired to live in an atmosphere of victory because we have the mind of Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16. You and I, each one of us, are empowered to agree that God is in control, that he is with us, that he will never leave us and never forsake us. Fear and worry, my friends, are not our inheritance. We must not live in fear. Use the name of Jesus. Sometimes that's all we've got, isn't it? When we can't even utter a prayer, just use the name of Jesus. His name brings power. He does his bit, and we need to do ours. This has been my personal experience, and it's changed my life, my inner life. And it's delivered incredible peace. But I have to work on it. It's like going to the gym of my mind. I have to work on it. The peace that passes understanding, if I want to carry that, I need to know that it guards my heart. That's what it says in Philippians 4:7. It guards my heart. It guards your heart. I'm learning to proactively take every thought captive because I was caught in a cycle of blame and disempowerment. If you're a parent, you'll probably get this. This is what's happening to my child, and it's because of this thing that I did when they were 3 years old, this prayer I didn't pray, this thing I missed. The evil one comes to kill and steal and destroy, and he starts here. Then Jesus touched my heart and showed me. The devil comes to kill and steal and destroy, but he wants to live. He wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live a defeated and disempowered life. He doesn't want us to live as a victim. The second part of this verse says, I have come to give you life and life in abundance. Hear that again, my friend. He has come to give you life in abundance. Not just surviving, but thriving. We live from what he has already done on the cross. He is already victorious. He's already won the victory. And part of that is in our inheritance when we from our Heavenly Father to live an abundant life, no matter what the circumstance. Here's another lie which the evil one wants us to buy into, putting ourselves down, body image, comparison. I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. So those thoughts pop into our head. Here we are at the intersection again. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am made in the image of Christ. I take those thoughts captive. I tell them in my head, you are a lie. You need to leave now in Jesus' name. And I begin to speak what God has for my heart. That is for every single one of us. No exceptions. No exceptions. Our best weapon is Scripture, the God-breathed Word. So get into His Word. It's a powerful weapon. Open it up every day. When those lies come, we can declare what God says. No, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, is my response. It is important when having the mind of Christ and taking every thought captive that we guard our minds. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Be mindful of what you let into the gateway of your heart, what you watch, what you listen to. Be mindful. Fill up with the goodness of God and guard your heart. Remember my analogy earlier? The messy guy coming into my beautiful white house and abusing me? You want to put a deadbolt on that door. Fill your mind with whatever is lovely and honourable and true and pure. Think upon these things. Take every thought captive. See the lie, name it, and cast it away in Jesus' name before it takes root in your heart and your mind. Worship is a weapon too. Worship soothes our heart, gets our mind on Christ. Don't you find worship often just changes your mood? Yeah, it adjusts our focus. And I reckon one of the best times to put worship music on, to go out in nature and worship, is when we don't feel like it, okay? You're feeling defeated, you choose to worship. Know His Word. And have good people around you. I have a very good friend of mine and we go out for coffee once a week and we just share life together. Now, we want people that surround us as we go out and into the world who are going to speak life over us, okay? You know who they are in your world. Find those people and make sure you spend time with them. We need people that are going to speak life over us. Do that to people in your family that you love. Demonstrate this to your kids, your family, whoever's around you. And finally, we are His lights. We reflect his glory to the world. When you live in victory in every circumstance, that shows the world he is real and makes a difference. Let your life preach the gospel, that he might draw all people to himself. I want to pray for you now. Can we do that? Why don't you stand with me as the team comes up, the worship team comes up, and I'd ask that the prayer team might like to come up now too, please, because we want to just finish this morning in an atmosphere of prayer, because I can speak good words, share good words, but we want Holy Spirit to connect what God has been saying to you. Yep, please come forward, prayer team. We want to connect what God's been saying to our hearts in here with here, okay? And I really believe that God has been shifting some hearts this morning, because this is just human nature stuff that we wrestle with. But we want to take on the mind of Christ. So let me pray for you, and then I'll instruct some prayer from that point of view onwards. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. Thank you that your love for each person here is relentless. Holy Spirit, would your glory fall as we respond to what you've been speaking to our hearts. And just in this moment, there might be a word, something that just dropped in that you just thought yes to. God, we open our hands to you today. There are some of us in this room who like what we hear. I want to be victorious in my life. I don't want to be thrown around by the winds and the waves anymore. Some of us have never said yes to Jesus. You know, there's an invitation this morning to say yes to Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, we fully submit to him. We've been in that driver's seat, and God stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He sees you. He loves you. He calls you beloved. And his arms are open wide, just like in that beautiful picture of the statue. He says, come, my child, just surrender to me. Cast all your cares upon me, because I care for you. And when we say yes to Jesus, we give him the opportunity to work in our lives. We live in the freedom of what we were created to be, walking in union and in unison with the one who created us. So I just want to pray over that now. If that's you, you might want to hold your hands open just as an act of surrender. We can all do that together. And say, Jesus, I want to surrender to you today. Please forgive me for when I have not opened my heart to you and I have walked in my own ways, in my sinful ways. Please forgive me now and come into my heart. I surrender to you. I thank you for what you've done on the cross. You've done it all for me out of love. You have defeated sin. You have defeated death. I say yes to you today. Thank you. In Jesus' name. There are some of us this morning who, so many of us walk in the agreements that we've made over ourselves. So I want to pray over you today. God, for those who are here today who have been just under the weight of words that have been spoken over them in the past that are not your words, God, I want to pray today freedom and life. I want to pray today that you would just be lifting off the heaviness on hearts and shoulders and backs and in the agreements of our mind, even in the core of our being, that have held us back. thank you that what you speak over me is more powerful. So today I lay everything at your feet. Take it, Jesus. Take it, Jesus. Take all of it. Unravel the pain. Unravel the words. Unravel the curses that have been spoken over my life. And Holy Spirit, calm and breathe words of life. Breathe words of truth. You know, when we say yes to hearing what Jesus has to say over us, hope sparks new. So Holy Spirit, put your hope in right today, right now. Your hope and your peace and your love. Your love. Thank you that you say we are precious and we are loved by you. Lord, may we receive that love today, knowing that we are worthy because we are yours. And maybe for some of us, we realize there's been a little niggle this morning that our words have not been what they could be over ourselves or over others. Forgive us, Father. Thank you that you are inviting us to be people who speak life over ourselves and over others. Lord, change our hearts. Renew us. Thank you that you say, behold, I am doing a new thing. So grow us today. Grow us today. Help us to be givers of life, we pray, by our words and our actions, to our spouses, to our friends, to our children, to our parents, to our workmates, to the people that we meet on the street. Lord, may our words be a sweet, sweet offering, speaking your words over people's life. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to sing together now. And as we do, you might have said yes to Jesus this morning for the very first time. I am so excited for you. Please do not leave without coming and praying for somebody. This team wants to bless you and they want to set you up for your next steps because we do this together. So if that's you this morning, make sure you speak to someone. You speak to a leader. You come and pray with the prayer team now. As soon as we start to sing, just come. Maybe God's been stirring something. We need people to stand beside us, don't we? We don't do this journey alone. We need people to... There are times when there are words and situations that I can't muster up the victory that I need in my life. So that's when I call on my brothers and sisters to pray for me and to speak life over me. So there are some of you in this room today that are just in a situation and it seems overwhelming. Come and receive prayer this morning. As soon as we start to sing, just come. No one else is watching. Just do business with God, okay? Don't leave. Don't leave until you've done that. So some of you have come with other prayer needs. Come now. Come. And I'm going to join the prayer team because I just love to pray. So may God bless you. Come now for prayer as we continue in worship.